Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, I just want to know, like, what size did you, what color did you get your Damian Lillard jersey in?
I was about to say some colors that might draw a tampering fine. No comment. I'm just going to eat my French fries off mic. Got some In-N-Out actually today.
Oh, man. Have I told you about the In-N-Outs out here?
Mm-mm.
It's tremendous. It's amazing. Everybody out here in Texas seems to believe that Whataburger is a better hamburger than In-N-Out.
Right. So they dislike In-N-Out from jump, right? Like, just,
yeah,
because like, they got to defend
California. Just, yeah, and because of that principle, it means that In-N-Out is like never busy, which like it's a dream that's, come true.
Yeah, man, that's
it's
great.
It's a top five thing out here in Austin. So, yeah, I went from living near an In-N-Out where I could get in and out of there and like 5-10 minutes every time I went. Mm-hmm. To now I show up, it's like they have my burger waiting for me.
They're like, you're back, Anthony.
Yeah. I just call ahead. Hey, I'll have the usual.
Uh-huh.
Nice. And actually, Mr. Irwin, you don't even have to pay today. It's a, you know, we'll just all right. Today's show, Pete and I have been going back and forth on this topic, you know, from segment by segment, you know, kind of throwaway comment by throwaway comment. But now, seeing as the Portland Trail Blazers just beat the Dallas Mavericks 134-131 on the back of Damian Lillard's 61-point effort, we're going to have the Portland Trail Blazer conversation. I'm going to try to avoid talking Pete into a fine. We almost got it like 30 seconds into the show. but we're just going to see where this thing goes. I want to start here because I think this is the disclaimer that we need to lay as like a foundational element to this conversation. I don't think either of us are actually afraid of the Blazers in like the they can beat the Lakers in the series kind of sense. I don't think so.
I mean, the word can does a lot of work there. Like, there's a small chance.
Right, non-zero or something like that.
There's a non-zero chance, but it's very small. I think that they could beat us 4 out of 7. That's a bad dude that I mind my words carefully when it comes to... Harrison learned this the wrong way, right? Just like,
don't poke the bear. He went out there and poked and prodded, danced around the bear, doused
and
himself
Dame's like
in
KD,
blood.
Uh-huh. And Dame's like, KD, like Dame will respond to you on social media, right? Like,
yeah.
He's more than happy to do that. So no, that's Mr. Lillard so far as until the end of any 7-game series. That's Mr. Lillard. You got enough Kobe in him. Well, I see it, man. I ain't fucking with that guy.
So what we're going to do, I actually disagree right from the get-go. I don't think there is a world in which the Lakers lose to the Blazers in a first round series. I just don't, okay. I don't see that at all. And I think that actually kind of serves as an understanding of where you and I are both coming from. And especially in relation to the other teams that are involved in the potential 8 spot, right? It's the Suns, it's the Spurs, and it's basically the Blazers at this point. So with all that said, do your best, Pete, to actually make me nervous about this team. Because here's the context I'm looking at the game. As great as it was and as fun as it was to watch Damian Lillard drop 61 points on 32 attempts on the Dallas Mavericks, they still only won by 3.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's kind of my entire thing with the Blazers. It's like, yes, Dame is super fun, terrifying, like all the great adjectives that you could throw at the dude. I'm going to throw him his way. But it's still like Carmelo Anthony is going to guard LeBron. Gary Trent Jr. is going to guard LeBron. Like, I don't see, and yet you have analysis after analysis commentator after commentator lining up to say that, ooh, the Lakers got to be afraid of the Blazers. Ooh, sure. The Lakers. And it makes me feel like the Blazers are the most overrated team in my lifetime.
Sure. I can see. Look, I can see why you're irritated by it. Can I make the case to you of if the Blazers were to beat the Lakers, how it would look?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the thing about the Blazers is that they can spam the same play over and over again, especially if you don't have the right personnel in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Lillard scored so many of his points against Porzingis.
Porzingis looked like a baby giraffe out there.
Right. He couldn't. But that's the thing is that there's a version of this where JaVale's starting the playoffs. We've got him in a high drop coverage. Best he can. If he comes up too high, Mr. Lillard blows by him, mm-hmm. right? If he hangs back too far, Mr. Lillard hits a pull-up three. And they start setting those high step-ups that Draymond was talking about on Inside the NBA the other day. And we're down 19-9 when we call a timeout with 6:03 left in the first quarter.
And NBA Twitter is just a buzz.
Right. And
Hipster Twitter.
They whoop our ass in the first 6 minutes of the third quarter, too. Right?
Okay.
And we've got this, we're like minus 16 in 12 minutes with the starting lineup. And we got to make up the points elsewhere. Now, they can't really guard us, right? And I think one of the things about this roster is that we've got something for every version of different teams. Mm-hmm. We're about to have a hard road, right? Like it's looking very likely that it's Portland, Houston, Clippers, Milwaukee with no home court advantage at any point.
Yep.
If that's what it looks like, if we go through those four teams for the chip, that's a serious path to a championship. And yeah. So
what we're saying is go fuck yourselves with all the asterisk talk.
Yeah, oh yeah, I ain't even worried about that. Let's win the first round series first. That's where my head's at. But so we've got personnel that can kind of counter this, but I think that if we're too heavily dependent defensively on our less mobile bigs, JaVale and Dwight specifically, the more those two have to defend Lillard, the more they can go on these runs where it is like they will win those other minutes, right? But mm-hmm. if we're minus 16 in those 12 minutes, that first six and of each the first and the third quarter, can that happen four times over seven games? I think it can, especially we don't know what our starting lineup is. The lineup that we've played within the bubble has been awful. It's been like the worst five-man group in the league, statistically, from a net rating standpoint. So you've got this group that isn't playing particularly well together. You've got this guy who, I mean, think of the difference in the level of intensity of games that Portland's been playing versus what we've been playing, right? And yeah. So there's a, you know, us losing at game one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're way more at running at what they can do. Now, the fact that they have to spam the same play over and over again to get Dame to score 61 points to beat a team like Dallas. Now, Dallas poses different problems than we do offensively. Dallas is actually a better offensive team than we are.
Yeah.
But, and kind of like the way they go about it is similar, right? With Luka in the LeBron role, but Luka's more of a, like Lakers are more of a power team and Dallas is more of a finesse team.
Yeah.
And so they've got more size down in the interior where we're not going to physically overwhelm Nurkic in terms of size, right? We're not going to overwhelm Hassan Whiteside in terms of our size and power, right? Again, I'm making the devil's advocate argument that I think that this happens a couple, if they play the series 100 times.
You're making the non-zero chance.
Right. If this happens, a series plays 100 times, I think it happens a couple times, this version that I'm talking about. But I just don't think it's zero. Does any of that sway you at all?
In the 2018 Western Conference first round matchup between the Portland Trail Blazers and the New Orleans Pelicans, Anthony Davis averaged in 38.8 minutes a game, 33 points, 12 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.5 steals, and 3 blocks a game.
Sure. Oh no, and AD would go nuts. LeBron would go nuts.
Yeah. Well, what I mean though, so while you were talking about JaVale, you know, we ended the show yesterday by talking about how JaVale shouldn't play. in the first round. Maybe not again the rest of the season, in my opinion. And especially watching Kristaps try to guard Dame there, that like further hammered home something that I was already thinking before I was watching that game, right? And while JaVale is a better athlete, I think, than Kristaps Porzingis, Kristaps has a little bit more length. He's taller or whatever, but I think JaVale is a better athlete. I don't know if that improved athleticism actually really helps him here, just because he's going to go for every single fake.
Different types. Like, Porzingis is a little more coordinated than JaVale is, right? Like, just jumping, right?
Right. Yeah, so, like, yeah, JaVale is more explosive, and, like you're saying, Kristaps is more coordinated. Even there, though, like, actually, one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking about it is, even if the Lakers wanted to go with Markieff Morris and see if they can press up on Dame, mm-hmm. I'm still a little worried about his foot speed there. Like, I would only want to do that in short bursts because he's going to get into foul trouble, I think. But just to throw a different pitch at him, like, I was watching Carlisle and Kirk and I were tweeting back and forth. We were DMing and he was even texting me like, are you watching this?
Right.
And like, all of analytical Twitter is watching everybody for some reason drop cover Dame, and just we're all kind of mind blown by it. And I think in a playoff series, and we saw this in the Golden State series, where eventually Golden State just put their length on Dame and it was really difficult for him to really do anything. So let's take a quick second here. I want to talk about a couple more aspects of this, because, you know, as easy as it is to just kind of boil it all down to Dame, there are four other guys on the court with him in a basketball game. And two of those guys are going to be asked to deal with Anthony Davis and to deal with LeBron James. And that's where I think I fall back down to the, you could start to sway me on the non-zero thing. And then I think of the other guys and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm dropping to -5% or something like that.
Sure.
Let's take a quick second. We'll come back and talk about that. Sports are back. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind, and that's MyBookie. MyBookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped into one. I love it, you love it, and that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of NBA basketball right now, there's never been a better time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's NBA Championship Future Bets. Nothing shows you believe in your better team like betting on them before the playoffs have even begun. But why stop with basketball? Smart bettors are already looking towards the future, and in this case, that means baseball, hockey, football, you name it. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite MLB, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, plus they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. One thing that does make me nervous about facing a guy like Dame or any smaller guard or any smaller team, like Houston in general, actually really scares me in this regard too. The refereeing, they've been over refereeing everything in the bubble so far. Like, everybody loves, like, wow, these games are all so close. It's so incredible. And you look at the box score and night in, night out, there's like 60 free throws between the two teams. Like, of course, so you have evenly more closely matched teams than you do in the regular season. And we're giving them like stoppages in play and free points at the free throw line. Of course, they're going to be close games. But if Dame, especially, so the major advantage I think the Lakers have defensively going up against Dame that other teams just flat out do not have is Anthony Davis, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that he can come up and on occasion blitz Dame, or he can meet him at screen level or something like that. It doesn't like Chris Apps basically has no choice but to fall into drop coverage, because otherwise, like we saw the one time he like accidentally wandered up to screen level and Dame literally didn't even make a move. Like he was just,
he just strolled by him. Yeah.
Bye guy. So
that's not to say that Dame won't beat AD on those two. It's just AD will win some of those battles.
Yeah.
Guy like Porzingis or JaVale, that they're won't just be not going to win those. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It won't be. And so, but even with that said, if Davis tries that, and every time he tries it, catches Dame on the hip with his hip and picks up like two cheap fouls in the first quarter, that's how you're talking about. Like, that's the way the Lakers lose a game, you know, because there goes that major advantage in a very cheap way. And given the way that smaller teams tend to be refereed anyway, remember how maddening it used to be when we would watch Shaq, right? Mm-hmm. Like the poor guy would walk away from a random possession bleeding from his ear or something weird.
From like three guys hanging on him.
Yeah, right. And then on the other end, you know, somebody would dribble around a screen and he would just kind of like hip check just a little bit. And there's a cheap foul, you know? And I think that's something that the Lakers in general are really going to run up against. But I think especially with Damian Lillard, he's out there, give me respect on my bleeping name. And it's like, Damian, you just shot 17 free throws. Like, that's a lot of respect, bud. And all I've heard about is how great Damian Lillard has been.
Like, It's Mr. Lillard.
I want to know where all these guys who think they get no respect think the respect goes.
I love that challenge. Did you see that? Did you catch that in today's game? Like, yeah. Terry Stotts was like, okay, like, I'm not going to win this, but you're...
It was funny to hear Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, who, by the way, is the best great. Color yeah, commentator, great. I think, out there right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Doris, like, just those those two are the best. But yeah, it was funny to hear Stan, like, you know, that's one where
yeah, they're not going to win that.
Probably not going to win. but anywho, to get back to where we were going to start this segment on the other four players, right? The other four guys, again, Carmelo Anthony played in tonight's game against Dallas. He played, 35 minutes. 35. Wow. Mario Hezonja played 22 minutes. Gary Trent Jr. played 36 minutes. Those are the guys who are going to be asked to guard LeBron. Mm-hmm. And not just any LeBron, but also playoff LeBron.
Right.
And that's where I can't get nervous when I see those guys as matchups.
That's why there's like, you know, a couple times out of 100, but that's why there's probably 90 something versions of this
where goes
Lakers way, because there's going to be higher degree of variance. Like, I'd be shocked if we swept Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They're the type of team that's going to win a game or two against us just because they're going to get hot. McCollum wasn't good in this game, but not like he had a lot of touches to get a lot of rhythm. That dude
could 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he's a good player. There is something to be said, though, like the Lakers having length, Kuzma emerging as this perimeter defender that can drop his top foot and, you know, do it. Now, is that going to stop Damian Lillard? Absolutely not. But just having more bigger humans who can, like, who can just, like, win some possessions on those, I think has a cumulative effect, too. Also, like, Dame is having to absolutely carry this team right now.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some degree of fatigue with we've got this huge team. And there's, when you were talking about like Dame picking up the fouls and whatnot, there's also a physical component of that too, like getting bumped. And we'll miss Avery in this respect, right? But I think I'm working on a video on Dame. It's looked like, you know, Portland may be in our future for a little bit, especially knowing how Mr. Lillard operates. And this is exactly what I expected him to do. And so I've been watching all of the games that we played against them. And this falls under the easier said than done. And there's a lot more detail to it. But if we can funnel him into our length, we're going to be okay. To me, limiting his number of three-point attempts is going to be, that's going to be the stat that I look at. Is he getting 12 attempts? Is he getting 14 threes? Mm-hmm. That means we're in too many drop coverages. That means we're not doing a good job, good enough job. It's the same thing as Harden, right? Like we were talking, like we can't help you out there if you're giving up the three ball, right? Like, can we put back pressure on him? But he's also going to stop up short and like you run up his back and draw the foul. He knows all of the tricks. You tweeted something today that I totally agree with, that like we need to look at the rules before the refs, and that there are so many calls that are like, yeah, that's technically a foul. Yes. Like it's not a bad call. It's just very against the spirit of the game.
Right.
But these are just the like rules. Verticality.
They call verticality at the rim, but for some reason, out there on the 3-point line, it just doesn't matter anymore. Or
right, like, there's,
it's just weird.
Yeah, like, or if you're like chasing a guy in a lock and trail and he just stops and you run into him, like, I don't know, it's just kind of weak. And but anyway, those are the rules. And Dame knows all of the spots to get that, all of the, you know, I need free throws are the best shot in the game, and he knows how to earn those. So this is easier said than done, but being able to funnel Lillard into larger people who on the other end, like, I feel like we can spread Portland out where, you know, we can attack on the perimeter, but also be able to, you know, do a great deal of work on the offensive glass. LeBron on the interior, like we can get points on them for sure. And so I think our production will be more consistent against them, where theirs will vary more.
Yeah.
But sometimes that means they're going to be really hot and we don't get a stop on the perimeter.
Let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, one of the things I think you and I really give Vogel a lot of credit for over the course of the season has been his adjustments. And one thing that I think you and I are both looking forward to with Vogel is how he adjusts over the course of a series. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the last kind of variable here that needs to be pointed out, because it's a big one.
Yeah.
So let's start here. Again, you know, Kirk and I were texting, tweeting, DMing back and forth. And, you know, one of the jokes, I think I made this one on Twitter, was Damian Lillard just broke the single game scoring record against you. Did you ever consider adjusting? I think part of it is that I don't think Carlisle really can adjust because of Porzingis, you know. Kleber, I thought was Kleba, I think Kleba is how you say it.
Kleba.
He appeared to be doing a little bit better job. He's more mobile. I thought I liked how he looked in those spots a little bit better than Porzingis, but obviously you aren't going to play Kleba instead of Porzingis down the stretch. Though they have to do something to figure out their down the stretch offense. But anyway, the reason I'm saying all of this is because I'm watching Carlisle just do the same thing over and over and over again. And he's hammering away at this screw, and it's maddening to watch. And I'm sure it's also probably maddening for him on a different level, because he knows there's not really anything else you can really do there. But, but still, I think Vogel has the horses to be able to adjust, and B, I think he's less stubborn, I think, than Carlisle has been over the course of his career. And as a result of that, like, yeah, I think Dame will probably have one really big game, especially the one game that JaVale probably starts, and then the Lakers adjust, and then JaVale isn't in the starting lineup anymore. And then that's it.
Oh. Is that what you think happens? Is we play one game, Dame goes off, and so what? You think we're dropping game one?
Well, no, I'm saying like in the scenario, I don't think they lose game one. Like, I think if they lose a game to the Blazers, see, here's the other thing. So while the Lakers aren't going to have a home court advantage, and that's going to make their road to the finals, you know, obviously more difficult in aggregate because they would have had more home games, but the Blazers really needed a couple home games, or would really need a couple home games in a series against the Lakers, right? Because if you steal one in LA, you know, because of a crazy hot shooting night, and then you go back to Portland and that crowd thinks that team really has a shot, I've always hated playing in Portland. That's one place that like every Lakers fan knows don't mess around in that building. But yeah, I think, you know, if the Lakers were to lose a game, it would probably be like game two or three or something like that with one of those ridiculous Lillard games, but the series will have already been basically over. And even there though, like if I don't think Vogel would ride JaVale to the point where it really, really bites the Lakers. We've already, you know, I've seen him make adjustments against various teams over the course of a season. And I would think over the course of a game, right? Where the first half looks very different from the second half. And that second half is a lot more efficient because of some tweaks that they made at halftime. And I would think that that would happen before Dame really fully goes off to where the Lakers are ever in any real danger of losing a series.
Well, and just the nature of the playoffs, coaching is so different in the playoffs because you're preparing for one team. You can kind of have like the things that you do, but in a playoff series, you get to really contour that to what team or to one team in a way that's just not possible during the regular season. Mm-hmm. And so, especially with, you know, I got to figure with 4 months off, you know, a guy like Vogel is a great, great film guy, mm-hmm. is, you know, use some of that time on, hey, what do we do against Dame and CJ if we face them, right? And,
yeah.
So I do have faith in, and I think that the Lakers, I mean, that's all well and good. We think that Vogel might adjust and do all that, but the Lakers also have the personnel to adjust.
That's the important one.
We can be big, we can be small. AD really is that linchpin that it allows us to be whatever we want to be defensively. I think that like the Lakers' suspect perimeter defense, as it's been kind of characterized as I've seen recently, is overblown, and I think it's misunderstood because I think it's the inability of our fives, JaVale and Dwight, to defend on the perimeter. But when we're not playing those lineups, we're actually very good on the perimeter. We rotate really quickly. Our closeouts are good. We can overplay, so we can be vulnerable to back cuts. We saw that against Denver last night. CJ and Dame will do that. They've got some split cut action that can beat us if we're switching. Caruso's been overhelping and overplaying, getting beat and back cut, but he was the guy who I thought did the best job on Dame. But really, how we defend a guy like Dame will be a battle of Mr. Lillard against our bigs, right? Whoever's hedging on that screen is who it's against. And JaVale and Dwight, yeah, not so much. AD is going to win some of those. Like, look, you're not going to stop Damian Lillard, but AD is going to be able to be productive enough on those to where on that other end where they don't really have the personnel to stop our guys, that's, you know, like I don't see the reverse being true, right? Like them having someone who can really give LeBron and AD problems defensively or win enough battles to make it matter. I think that we've got lineups we can play where we can win enough of those battles where we'll be all right.
Yeah, the math doesn't scare me as much against Portland. You know, because the Lakers, against just about everybody they're going to face in the playoffs, are going to be in a bit of a mathematical deficit, right? The other team is going to take more threes or whatever. But the type of threes that Portland is going to be taking are a lot tougher than the type of threes that, you know, Houston might create or the Clippers might create or, you know, whomever. The other thing, too, as you were talking about the horses down low, up high, you have a lot of length that, you know, just for the sake of tonight's game that we watched between Portland and Dallas, Dallas's guards are all pretty small, right? They had Trey Burke out there. DeLon Wright, for some reason, is in a bit of a doghouse compared to the way that he's kind of paid. They're missing a guard. There's usually another guard there who plays some, but I don't see him on the list here. Brunson, where's Brunson? Is he not in Dallas anymore?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on with Jalen Brunson. I think he's hurt, isn't he?
Is he? He might be. But either way, you look at the kind of guards that are going to be starting on Dame, right? Alex Caruso has a couple inches on Dame. KCP has a couple inches on Dame. If the Lakers go to that super big lineup where it's Danny Green, I guess it would be KCP, Kyle Kuzma, LeBron and AD. Like, all those guys are long enough and athletic enough to really bother Dame. And I think that's really what it comes down to with smarter guards in the playoffs, where you do get swarmed more, especially over the course of a series, where your legs start to get more tired, and those passes, those jump passes, wind up taking a toll too, because you're jumping on possessions that your body doesn't really anticipate having to jump on. So you're going through all of that. And, you know, the one thing that makes me nervous, or that I don't particularly like, is that the Lakers have nobody basically to make Dame work, unless they really try to hunt him in switches. But there's nobody that the Lakers could really make him work on the defensive end with. But, you know, other than that, like, that's honest to God, my biggest concern is that the Lakers, like, Dame will be fresh kind of night in, night out on the offensive end, because there isn't really much the Lakers are going to make him do on the defensive end. That to me is my biggest concern. But beyond that, like, I think that's more situational than really anything.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And in terms of being fresh, he's carrying such an offensive burden that, like, it may not be enough, right? Just resting him on a spot up shooter or somebody who's not going to, like you said, we don't really have guards that are going to attack him all that much. I do think, though, we can put him in rotation, and he's going to have to be, you know, for running. If they've got Nurkic and Whiteside playing, that means they're going to have to be in drops. And we actually do really well against teams that have to drop offensively. That's Denver. That's Utah. Think of, like, slow plotting bigs, which guys like Whiteside and Nurkic are. We tend to have better impact on the offensive end than we do against teams that can switch really effectively. So that means if they're in a drop, that means more conventional weak side tagging, which means that Dame is going to have to, like, get in front of a rolling big man and then close back out to a shooter. Now, with the way we've been shooting, you know, they're probably tagging hard on that big. And if Dame's closeout is a little bit late and we've got Danny Green shooting a, like, if I'm Portland, I'm almost building my strategy around the Lakers have to shoot poorly. Like, I'm going to make the Lakers make threes.
Yep.
To beat me.
No matter who I am. If I'm Portland, if I'm Utah, if I'm Houston.
Right.
That's what you have to do against the Lakers.
But I think with as kind of porous as the interior of Portland's defense is, they're going to have to so overcommit to that the R3s are going to be really wide open. And over the course of seven games, like, man, maybe you get a couple of games where we just can't hit crap. Lord knows we've shown that that's a tendency of this team. Over seven, color me skeptical that would happen.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't think either of us are really shifting off of where we're sitting, where you're thinking non-zero and I'm thinking zero still chance that the Blazers knock off the Lakers in a first round series. It definitely isn't as high as some in kind of national NBA coverage are making it out to be. I think we both agree on that front. But, you know, look, Dame is fantastic. I'm lower on CJ McCollum than most people tend to be. And as great a story as Carmelo Anthony has been, he's going to have to guard LeBron. And I think that story is kind of going to come crashing down a little bit over the course of that, like, series.
Well, and he'll hit some big shots almost certainly, right?
Yeah,
but
he'll also take some, like, he's going to take some shots on defense.
Sure.
So we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. I just, the talk had become so loud here with the Blazers that I had to have a podcast on this. We will be back to talk, I believe, the Lakers. I think they have another day off tomorrow. And then wrap up the regular season on Thursday. So the next time you and I talk, Pete, we will know definitively who the Lakers are going to be playing in the first round. So we'll break down that game and the first round series matchup, and we'll go from there. We will be back tomorrow with a guest I already have lined up. We'll see how that goes, though. You never know with bubble life. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.